CheersCast is part of the Fire and Water Network.
Sam's been searching for weeks to find the perfect woman to have his baby. Obviously, he's given up and asked Rebecca.
No way. Something that big Sammy would have told us.
Why do you assume the rest of the world lives by your outdated code of male bonding? Do you think that every man goes around telling his buddies when he decides to sire an offspring?
Frasier did.
Anywho.
And welcome back to CheersCast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and here to help me kick off season 10 is returning guest. Please help me welcome back Vicky DeCiper. Welcome back, Vicky.
Thank you, Ryan. So glad to be here as always.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you weren't gone that long because you were just at the very close to the end of last season.
Yeah, I feel like I'm right back, but yeah, I love it. Yeah. Always happy to be back.
Happy to have you back. And yeah, this is the beginning of season 10, the penultimate season. I can barely believe I'm saying that. we've come so far. And yeah, we're picking up with the season after a pretty significant cliffhanger at the end of last week, if you can call it a cliffhanger, but what looks to be a new status quo for the show. I'll get to that in a second. But going into season 10, the most notable change for the show was the promotion of Bebe Neuwirth to full-time cast member, with her name appearing in the opening title sequence. With her inclusion, the cast reached its highest amount of upfront characters at 8, 3 more than it started with back in season 1. The first half of the season is dominated by the ongoing storyline of Sam and Rebecca's, I'm just going to say, ill-advised attempt to have a baby, and that could be ill-advised in story or out of story. While the second half of the season sees Cliff's equally ill-advised attempts to become a comedy writer, and it builds toward the wedding of Woody and Kelly. We also get 2 more Bar Wars episodes this season, as well as celebrity guest appearances by Emma Thompson, Johnny Carson, Kevin McHale, Harvey Fierstein, and Harry Connick Jr. The show received 6 Primetime Emmy nominations for season 10, 4 Golden Globe nominations, and a Directors Guild of America nomination, but it didn't take home any this year. Vicky, when last we saw our characters, Sam and Rebecca decided that they were going to try and have a baby together. Thoughts?
A lot. Okay, I'm going to give a little 1991 history lesson for you here. What was on our TV going on at the same time? So Murphy Brown, May of 1991, season 3 finale, she finds out she's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, Candace Bergen was 45 years old. So we have another 40-year-old woman who's going to have a baby out of wedlock, we'll say, for this. And then we've got this going on NBC. That was CBS. I'm sure the two teams didn't know they were going to both try to do a baby story, but it's kind of interesting because was Murphy Brown on Thursday night? I want to say it was. I could be wrong. I'm not sure if they were up against each other.
I don't think so, because I remember watching it too.
Okay, so it wouldn't have been the same night.
I don't think so.
But you know, I mean, Murphy Brown got into it with Dan Quayle and it was a big thing. And it was definitely a socio-political statement that they were making. Cheers did not go that route. It was farcical. You know, I've said it before. I love Kirstie Alley. They just lost touch with what to do with her, I think. And I think this was something they just were like, oh, let's get her pregnant. Let's have a baby. We all talked about it in the last episode, so I won't talk about it too much. But I always thought that this was when she was pregnant and ended up having a miscarriage. And that's why they got rid of the storyline. Mm-hmm. Had no idea it was actually last season, which actually would have been a more interesting story, I think, of the, is it Robbins? Is it Sam's? Gosh, as a woman, I would think this would still be a hard storyline to do that soon after losing a pregnancy. Yeah, this was a wacky way to go. I remember I probably watched this with my mom when it came out, but I would have been very young. And I remember watching reruns later and I was like, did Sam and Rebecca have a baby? Like, I do not remember this. Of course, you know, spoiler alert, they don't.
They don't.
But I just remember even, like, I don't know. This is just such a weird and kind of unnecessary storyline. Yeah. It does make for some funny episodes and some really funny moments. I think season 10 overall has a couple of my favorite episodes, probably. But this whole storyline was just kind of wacky. But that's not necessarily bad. Just
yeah. It's weird. And like, this sounds overly harsh, but I kind of think about this subplot that's so prevalent in the first half as the nadir of the whole series. But still, I still say the worst part of Cheers was better than most other TV
shows. Oh my gosh. Yes.
So,
totally.
Like, there's nothing like, I'm not going to have to slog through reviewing these episodes for the next.
No.
This was still a fun show to revisit. And there's a lot of funny parts, as you point out. But it's still, yeah, like, I always believed until a year ago, they were kind of forced into this plot by circumstance.
Yeah.
They thought she was pregnant. And then the reason they never did anything with it was because she miscarried. And I was like, okay, I forgive them. I can forgive them for that. But that wasn't the case. They were like, we don't know what else to do with Sam. Let's make him a father. And it's like, okay. And they worked on it. And like, from it sounds like they end up scrubbing the plot because there was a resounding response from the audience. No, we don't like this.
And we see it, you know, the characters even mimic that, like, what the heck are they doing over and over throughout the season? Mm-hmm. But I always gave them a pass because I thought what happened with Kirstie Alley wasn't true. So now they do not get a pass from me.
Foreshadowing, however, dear listeners, the season finale of this one might be the best episode of the entire show.
It is amazing.
It's got a strong argument for that. But that's still a few months away. So
yeah.
Before we dive into that one, let's talk about the season premiere. Season 10, Episode 1, Baby Balk. This one is written by Dan O'Shannon and Tom Anderson, whose names have become popular. They really kind of become the co-executive producers and driving writing force for a while. It was directed by James Burrows. The original air date was Thursday, September 19th, 1991. I was about to turn 10 years old, and yet just watching this live and just enjoying the heck out of it, whatever it was. After a minor but delicate injury, Sam and Rebecca decide to wait a day before trying to have a child. Once they reaffirm their commitment to the idea, they go to Rebecca's apartment to conceive. Rebecca is nervous, though, and in trying to assuage her doubts, Sam becomes too freaked out to perform. Sam rushes back to Cheers to seek guidance from Frasier, while Rebecca calls Lilith to get her advice. Frasier tells Sam that he has to treat this meaningful act of sex just as hedonistically wild and meaningless as he usually does. At the same time, Lilith coaches Rebecca to constantly remind Sam of the profound and miraculous nature of this sexual experience. When they learn that each of them went to an outsider for advice, Sam and Rebecca realize that if they couldn't even talk to each other about what it was inhibiting them, having a child together might not be such a good idea. They decide to table the idea until Sam gets in the mood again just as he is about to leave. Maybe they will conceive after all, if Rebecca can keep her mouth shut.
Excellent recap.
Thank you. Thank you. No AI in that, by the way, listeners. That's all me. That's 100% Ryan. You know, my first thought, and I'll get more into this, was despite the fact that we haven't had this plot line before, I feel like I've seen this episode before. And it's because a lot of this is the season 2 premiere when Sam and Diane are going to have sex for the first time and things just keep stopping them, preventing them from doing it.
Yep.
And it's like,
You're exactly right.
Our characters want the same thing. They want this to happen, but the plot is just going to throw in obstacles. And how much do those obstacles actually make sense, or how much do they work? How funny can they be? There's degrees of that. But yeah, that was my first kind of thought. I was like, they're doing the same thing that Sam and Diane did when they first hooked up.
Yeah, because didn't Diane even say the same thing? Like, let's go somewhere you've never gone before. Yeah.
And he couldn't think of a place. And they make that same joke here. She's like, yeah. So big picture, overall thoughts on this particular episode before we get into the nitty gritty.
I mean, like you said, the worst episode of Cheers is still an excellent episode. And it's not a bad episode. It's just a little all over the place, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, you know, Woody with the smokers from the bowling tournament kind of going on, which is a cute, funny storyline. Mm-hmm. So we have this kind of like heavy storyline going on for Sam and Rebecca. But I think the thing that makes it all worth it for me is Lilith and being a full-time character. Now she's in this bar. She's one of them. She goes toe-to-toe with Carla. She's hilarious. Like, it's like, okay, if this is what we have more to come of Lilith being in the bar with us more often, then this is, you know, it's worth it for the missteps. You know, Mike, my husband, is not with us today, and he had all the rat facts for us last episode. I will have some fertility facts for you coming up later in this episode.
Can't wait. And I'm not saying that facetiously.
I will have some. I mean, the thought of two 40-year-old people really knowing nothing about conception is quite comical. So I'll be there for you later on in this.
I was going to say, you're talking about the characters, right? Not the two of us?
The characters, yeah. Maybe as also being a little more than 30.
Yeah. I still don't know how I had the kid. How did that happen? So,
I don't know. Yeah. The stork, the cabbage patch.
There you go. Yeah. the teaser for this one. We open up in Norm's car. Our teaser, and this was entirely a sequence in the set of a car, which we've seen shots in Sam's car before and shots back in a limousine set back in seasons 6 and 8. But this is the first time we're in Norm's car. It's nighttime. It's after the bar has closed. And I just occurred to me the very next episode will have another couple sequences in the same type of setting. Because it's the season premiere, Cliffy is kind of talking to Norm. He's in the passenger seat, kind of opining on what's been happening recently, just kind of recap. And he's like, you know, Sam wanting to have a kid. He's like, oh, you know, it's really important that he needs to consider the genes of the mother. And he's like, yeah, I wish my mom had thought of that a little bit more. And he starts talking, what is he talking about? Like, you know, if she had gotten with somebody who could like run and jump a little bit fast, or if I might've been somebody who could run and jump a little faster. Like if Ma had gotten together with, oh, say Carl Lewis.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, life would have been very different for little Cliffy Lewis.
Very different.
Yeah. And Norm hasn't said much this whole thing as Cliff is talking. He's just like, yeah. And then at that point, once he mentions being the son of Carl Lewis, Norm just pulls over. He's like, hey, I hate to break it to you, Cliff, but it's time to get out. And Cliff's just looking. He's like, Norm, how come you always drop me off 6 blocks away from my house? And Norm's like, this time it's a mile. He's like, get out.
I love that.
Yeah. He's like, that's as far as he can take Cliff. So.
The best of friends, but could only tolerate Cliff so much, no matter how much you love him.
Yeah. Then after the credits, and again, during our credits, we get a new sequence with Bebe Neuwirth in the cast now. But after that, previously on, and we jump to basically the last 30 seconds of the season 9 finale, the omission of the references to Elvis Presley, because that wouldn't have made sense if you weren't.
That was so weird.
Yeah. So we pick up in the stairwell. It's our shot in the stairwell looking down towards the front entrance as Rebecca is coming up with her overcoat around her with the belt loop wrapped around the coat hanger that she's just dragging up the stairs, and Sam holding her suit or dress or something behind them. And he's clearly starting to wonder if they're rushing this decision. And she's like, do you think he's like, maybe the sight of the coat rack is distracting me or something like that. And he tries to untie it. And then she accidentally hits him in the groin as she's like bending over with it. She's like, okay, do you want to wait until tomorrow to decide this? And he just has the kind of high pitched, please.
That made me laugh. It was an easy joke, but it was pretty good. Did you notice too, her coat, they left the cigarette burn mark in it?
I did. So
it was, yeah, I was looking for it because I was like, I wonder if they changed the coat out for the next season, but it was, the hole was still there.
Wow.
Thought that was kind of interesting.
Nice. Kept the prop. That's cool.
They did. Yeah.
After that, we get in this, this group of bowlers comes in. With a guy congratulating his buddy who bowled a perfect 300 game. And Norm doesn't care about this until the guy buys a round of drinks for everyone at the bar. That bowler is our only guest character, named credited guest actor in the episode. He's played by Bruce Wright. appeared in over 60 movies and TV shows, but mostly as background or minor characters. But he was in the movies Apollo 13, Speed, Twister. He was also in episodes of The West Wing, Six Feet Under, JAG, and The X-Files. So
wow,
high-profile stuff. But
yeah, I didn't recognize him, but I've seen a lot of
background or one-off characters. Yeah,
interesting.
And this guy, you know, he starts passing out cigars to everyone, and he's just kind of going around the rounds and just hands one to Lilith as she's walking in. Doesn't even realize, but then he's all like, "Oh, he apologizes. Excuse me, ma'am. Yeah. Like, why would I give a woman a cigar?" And she's like, "You think I won't smoke a cigar?" And she says, "I'll save it for the George Sand Film Festival."
Nice
and
little highbrow Lilith joke.
And then Frasier has to explain this, that there's like a famous French woman who dressed in, how does he even describe it, who dressed like a man or something like that.
Yeah.
Really kind of abbreviating, because she was a female writer who adopted the male pen name of George Sand and dressed as a man. And so Frasier's like, wasn't that kind of funny? And this bowler guy is just like, was he a bowler? And Frasier's like, sure, why not?
Sure. I love a dismissive Frasier. It's my favorite.
Yeah. Sam says the bowlers should be in the smoking section. And Norma's like, we have a smoking section?
He's like, I'm Norm on this. When did this happen? Like, I never realized we had a smoking section.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, it's over by the piano. And Norm's like, we have a piano? And they point over in the back corner by the office. And Norm just kind of turns and looks at it. And he just kind of smiles, gets this kind of smile, like this irreverent look on his face. He's like, I need to turn my head more. So much life passing me by.
Okay. Had the piano been there before?
Yes, the piano's been there.
Okay. I wasn't sure, because I know later on in the season with Harry Connick Jr., it comes in. Right. And then in the final season, it's played again. But I couldn't remember. After they said that, I was like, did they just put it there for this season because we're going to be using it? Or
I'm trying to remember if it was gone when Rebecca redecorated the barn in season 6. It might have been gone for a little while, but it's been there.
Okay, it's been there. I just couldn't remember. I need to turn my head more.
Back in season 1, they made a deal. Sam's brother Derek was playing at the piano.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. I remember that now. Stuff. You're right.
Rebecca comes in, Sam kind of approaches her. They're like, hey, how are you doing? And she asks if he's okay. She's like, you didn't bruise, did you? And he's like, sweetheart, it's not a peach.
That was one of my favorite lines. Yeah.
And then, yeah, this is the point where they sit down. She's like, okay, we're going to do this, but she wants it to be special. She's like, you know, what happens when our child asks us about the night he or she was conceived? Sam's like, just say, mind your own business.
I agree with Sam. My parents that
right ever. I feel like I know too much about my parents' sexual history anyway, so I really don't need that graphic.
I was found under a rock for all I know.
But yeah, she's like, okay, she wants to do something that he has never done with a woman. And he can't think of anything. She's like, okay, let's do something you've only done once. And he still can't think of anything. And she's like, all right, let's just have a nice romantic evening. He's like, hey, that's a great idea. You've got a fireplace. We'll have a nice romantic time by the fire. A little Jiffy Pop. And she's like, Sam, don't be crass. I'm talking about popcorn.
That's a good one, too.
But yeah, this whole thing, it's the season 2 premiere when Dan is like let's go somewhere where you've never been before. And he's like, okay. Mm-hmm. And he's just kind of thinking. And he's like, all right. And he's kind of like looks through like the phone book or something like that and can't find. He's like, I'll be darned, as he's looking through the list of hotels and inns and stuff. Sam then, he and Rebecca are going to leave for totally legitimate reasons during the middle of the business day.
Of course.
I mean, he's the owner, so he leaves.
And we don't know what Rebecca does. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Manager. Yeah. At this point. And a few hours ago, within the life of the show, she was trying to get another job. So, because she's been going on interviews. So.
Right.
But Sam leaves Woody in charge. But Woody's like, you know, no, when you leave me in charge, nobody listens. They just laugh at me and pour drinks over my head. Sam's like, anybody does that, you just sick Carla on them. And Woody's, I'm talking about Carla.
Poor Woody.
And Sam announces to the bar that Woody is in charge. And Carla laughs and pours a beer over his head. And Sam is like, okay, all right, you good? He's just like, he's got no counter to that. And when he says something, he's like, he's glad that it's not margarita mix, because that gets salty.
That's salty. Oh, sweet Woody.
And the guys, like Norcliffe, they kind of notice that Sam is acting a little bit weird when he left. And Carla figures out that Sam, you know, how she phrased it, like looking all over for the right woman to have a child with. And obviously he's given up and now he's asked Rebecca.
He gave up and found Rebecca. These people know way too much about each other. Yeah. Like way too much about each other.
And I think Lilith kind of comes to that same conclusion.
She does. She does. But then she, well, we'll get there. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause she asks, you know, why, cause Norma's like, well, Sam would tell us about that, you know, if that was the case. And Lilith's like, why do you think he would tell you about that? Like, why do you, and she calls it this outdated notion of male bonding. She's like, why do you think that every man has to crow about it when he decides to have an offspring? And Norma's like, well, Fraser did. And I came close to making this my home run. It's so small, but when he says Fraser did, Lilith just looks at Fraser and he just goes, anywho.
Just I love it.
Like, it's his way of trying to move on.
Oh, man. I love Lilith. I just love her.
Yeah.
And with Fraser, I don't know. Right. I love them all.
Cliff asks Woody if he can talk to the bowlers back in the kind of like back corner, little alcove thing about their smoking. And Woody goes up to the lead guy and he asks to move if they, because he's kind of standing out like closer to the bar. And he asks him if he can move all the way to the back by the wall because the smoke is bothering other people. And this guy blows smoke into his face, which the disrespect of this joke is kind of the point. So Woody kind of goes back to Cliff and Cliff's like, what did he say? And Woody just coughs out the inhaled smoke that he got back into Cliff's face. Visually, it's a pretty fun little bit.
It is funny. I mean, I don't know. So I grew up in the South. I grew up in Mississippi. So we had smoking sections in every restaurant until not that long ago, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So like, but kids today don't have any idea what a smoking section is. Like, it's not a thing. But you always had to walk through the smoking section to get to the non-smoking section, which always kind of perplexed me. Like, what's the point? Like, you're getting it all over you by the time you get. But anyways, just a sidebar. It's been a long time since I've thought about a smoking section.
No, I remember smoking section in airports. Which there was no divider. It was just go on that side of the terminal.
It's like, it's true. Well, do you know now, even traveling in Europe and stuff, they're still smoking like vegetables inside, not outside. And I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. It's just so interesting. It used to be so commonplace. And now it just seems like another time.
I mean, there are ashtrays on planes. They're like,
so. I can't figure that out. Like, is my plane that old, or do they just still put them in case it comes in vogue again? Like, what is it? I'm not sure.
In the interest of full disclosure, I will say that I smoked for part of high school and college, but I only did it to be cool. So
that was my husband too. He did the same thing. Yeah.
After that, we cut to Rebecca's apartment. Sam and Rebecca have just kind of finished a meal that Sam actually prepared and cooked.
Yeah.
And Rebecca's like, I didn't know that you were. And he says that his mom taught him. She said, every guy should be able to cook. And he's like, yeah, I have a sensitive side.
It's very sweet and shocking. Yeah.
I guess I'm not. It's a little surprising, but I'm not, because I think with Sam's history, I think that would just be an asset in him being able to
wooing women. That's very true.
But also
that is true.
Also being a bachelor for so long,
he has to
know how to cook his own meals. So
I mean, you would think, although technically he's probably at the bar till 3 a.m. every morning. I'm not sure when he eats. There's no food at Cheers, but yeah, I don't know. But no, you're right. It makes sense in the whole.
Right. It's just not something you would necessarily expect. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he has this line. He's like, I have a sensitive side. Like, why don't we turn on some music and see how long it takes you to find it? And he wants to hear Johnny Mathis, and she doesn't have any. And he's like, that's okay. And he's like, I'll do it myself. And he starts to sing the song Misty, which I think this is the second time a cast member has sung the song Misty in the show.
Was it
Cliffy's big score? It was, I think, season three or season four.
Was season four, episode 16. This is our third Johnny Mathis rep episode. The first one was Sam and Diane in season four, episode 8. And then we had Misty with Diane and Cliff in season four, episode 16. And then again today.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And that was when Cliff was singing it to Diane in the car.
Yeah.
After
the car broke down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Um, And Sam actually tries to do a little bit of a falsetto to get the voice. And she's like, I didn't know you could sing that high. And he's like, well, I couldn't before the coat rack.
Again, another one of my favorite. This was also, mm-hmm. I thought, this was one of the sweeter moments in the episode. I like, mm-hmm. you could see this chemistry that these two do share.
Right.
And I don't know. I did like this moment. It seemed very natural and not forced. Yeah. Could they have stayed in that moment, things would have turned out differently this episode, but it got weird.
Right, right. And yeah, I mean, their natural chemistry as actors and performers, they are so good together.
Yeah.
I felt like they've made such a big deal in the last two seasons of saying these two are not the Sam and Diane of this era.
Yeah.
They're not going to have that loving relationship. They're just friends.
I know.
And so this forced thing of like this forced kind of.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it later. Like, because it kind of goes to a thing of where it's more of a contractual relationship, but they're still. It's weird.
Weird. It's like a day late and a dollar short. Like, had they done this earlier, I could have bought it. But right. Yeah, I don't know. It's a little weird.
Right. And anyway, so they start, they're slow dancing to this at this point, and they both start to overthink it because she's kind of getting nervous. And he's like, what are you doing? We've done this, you know, before. And she's like, but it's never, you know, been this important. And he's like, no, just, you know, think that. She's like, hey, this is something that once we do it, we can never go back. And he starts like, and it's like, yeah, well, we've done this a million times, but this time is different. And he starts wiping sweat off his
back. Yeah.
You can see him start to feel it. And before that, he starts to freak out. He's saying, like, the mood isn't right. They can't do it. And he's like, I don't have Johnny Mathis, but here's what I'll do. I'll go to the record store and I'll come back.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, Sam, don't be serious. He's like, hey, if we're going to make a baby, I need my Johnny, which is like the line of this episode I've always remembered.
It's so funny. Okay, I'm going to interject my fertility facts for us here. It is absolutely absurd to me that these two, so Kirstie Alley was 40, Ted Danson was 44. I and myself am approximately within that age range. Mm-hmm. Why do these two think that in one time, this is going to take a while, guys? Like, it's hilarious to me. We're just supposed to like spin disbelief. And this first time it's going to be it. The whole world's going to be different. I don't know. It's just, I mean, I know it's a TV show. The nurse in me and the older lady in me is just like, this is not, I mean, any woman at my age has gone through this or who's wanted to start a family has gone through this. And it's like, you're not 18, you know, it's just so funny. So I looked this up for us. The chance of a woman 40 or over getting pregnant in a month is less than 5%.
Wow.
So, and we do end up touching on this later on in this journey that we go on throughout the season, but I don't know. It's just hilarious to me. They think that one time it's going to do it. And then also, Sam allegedly has been doing this millions and millions of times and has no children that we know of. So either he's the safest person we've ever met or I don't know.
Well, that question might come up later on.
It does. It does come up later on.
in a future episode.
Yeah.
In a future episode, that might come up. And it's a funny one.
It is funny.
All that said, like his history and the, as he describes it, thousands or 10,000s or maybe hundreds of thousands of sexual encounters he's had, I can see him having a high enough opinion of himself that he's almost sort of gamed the system somehow. He's just tricked it. And that's why he's never gotten one pregnant, but also very certain in his own virility kind of that if he's trying, it's not going to be hard.
Right. Right. So, but even Rebecca.
I can understand Sam. Yeah, I can understand Sam's ignorance of the in this case.
I give you men a pass. You guys don't think about this stuff as much as we do. But Rebecca, like, fair. I don't know. She's a smart woman. Like, but it's fine. It's a TV show. I get it. I won't harp on it. The nurse in me and the old lady in me is just like, oh my gosh, kids, let's get our facts right. But I don't know. I just think it's funny.
The short answer is because sitcom.
Sitcom. I know, that's always the answer, sitcom.
So we go back to Cheers, and Sam rushes in. He drops his coat on the floor, which is a nice little joke because the coat rack isn't there anymore.
Still. Yeah, yeah.
And he rushes over to Frasier, but he can't speak. He can just kind of like pull him over to one of the tables by the front entrance. And almost like an animal or a child trying to communicate something, he's just like almost like mute. And Frasier's like, say it. He's just trying to figure out what it is. He's like, I can't. He's like, you have to tell me. He's like, I can't. He's like, what is the problem? He's like, I can't. like, you can't what? And Sam just kind of does this head nod, you know, south. And Sam, Frasier's like, oh. Do you mean to tell me that Sam Malone is unable to? And Sam just instinctively just covers Frasier's mouth.
Yeah.
It's like, we do not speak this into reality. No,
he cannot even hear it. He just cannot.
And then so he's like, okay, well, how is this coming about? He's like, well, he was having sex with Rebecca, or he was going to try. And he's like, you've slept with Rebecca before. He's like, but this was different. We were trying to have a baby. He's like, all right, how is this, you know, what's different? He's like, or how to say, and he's like, we're doing something wholesome and natural and beautiful, and it's turning me off. And Frasier goes into this whole thing and talking about the difference between recreational sex versus procreational sex.
Right.
Sam's like, what? Dirty sex versus clean sex. Which, okay, if that's how Frasier's going to define it. But Frasier tells Sam to think about this as like it's any tawdry affair. Think of conception as the furthest thing from your mind.
Right.
Hot, steamy, and otherwise meaningless as you would need to in a normal occasion. And then the other side of the bar, we get the smokers are now in the pool room. There's no vents or windows in there. Or the windows are painted shut.
Right.
Yeah. Carla's like, they're sweating, or it's starting to smell like Clavin in July back there.
Yeah, like Clavin in July. Yeah.
Yeah. And after she says that, Cliff is like, well, what do you expect? There's no vents and the windows are painted shut. Just repeats the same info. And then Woody, he has this fan, but he needs to install it and wire it. And it's like this huge kind of contraption. And the guy's like, yeah, you know, he's really coming into his own. And Cliff is like, it seems like only yesterday Woody was getting lost in the storeroom. Like, that was yesterday, Cliff.
That was yesterday.
Which is about all the participation from Norman Cliff we get, really.
That's it. We get nothing from them this episode. Right.
Then the phone rings and Rebecca is calling, but she wants to talk to Lilith, which is great that we just established these characters are always there when we need them. And Carla, she's like, phone is for you, chalk face. And Lilith is like, thank you, Velcro top.
He said he's been waiting to use that one.
You know, can Rebecca trust Lilith? And she's like, you know, of course you can trust me. I'm a professional. And Carla walks up to the bar to order something, and Lilith just covers the receiver. She's like, shut up. This is juicy.
Lilith has been brought right down into everybody else at Cheers.
Yeah.
She's just one of them now.
Right. And Rebecca explains that Sam wasn't turned on. And Lilith is like, oh, my God, the seventh sign.
I don't want to give it away, but I think that was my home run. Delivery of that was so funny.
Well, yeah, it's quickly followed by a line I think is precious. When she's like, why did Sam leave? She's like, was I not sexy enough for him? And Lilith says, no, if anything, you were probably too sexy.
And
Rebecca's like, Rebecca's like, what does that mean? And thank you.
Yeah, that is such a relatable line. Like, oh, I think you've lost too much weight. Thank you. Like,
exactly.
You look too thin. Oh, my gosh. So nice.
Yeah. So Lilith is like, just keep reminding him that he's having a baby, giving her the opposite of what Frasier's advice was.
Right.
So we get the sort of audience aware of the irony in this matter. And then we don't understand exactly what's going on, but Woody turns on this fan.
Yeah.
That must have been the size of like a jet engine and a prop about
huge.
As powerful as that, because we get this visual gag of just wind and gust and air blowing out of the pool room hallway and Carla suspended, like she's being held up. And luckily there's like so much air and stuff and everything blowing that you can't even see the strings that are holding her up.
Right.
It's a nice little stunt.
It is.
And like Woody's trying to like come to her aid, but he's like having to fight against the wind. So for Cheers, for like at this time and their TV budget, it's a cool effect.
It is, yeah.
But it's kind of like, all right, that's a little weird.
It didn't feel very Cheers-like. Kind of like Elvis in the Elvis dream sequence in the last episode. Like it just kind of felt a little off. But it was cool and it was funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know.
They come back and, you know, Sam, back to the apartment, Sam wants to get hot and sexy. And Rebecca keeps talking about his seed and her womb. And
he
runs away. He retreats to the kitchen, runs some water, and he calls Frasier. And Norm answers the phone. He's like, where's Woody? And he's like, Woody's otherwise disposed. And it's a great little moment. Norm's on the phone, and we just see in the background, Carla is choking out Woody.
He's wailing on him. It's funny.
That visual gag is probably worth, like, that's the payoff to the fan and all of that.
I agree.
Did that happen? That happened just for this moment, just them in the background. And Norm, Norm clearly observing this and having no inclination to stop it.
Yeah. You can't stop Carla. Then you'll be the guy who gets beat up after that.
Exactly. Sam talks to Frasier, who just reiterates the same advice, you know, make it sexy and dirty. And he's like, what's that sound? He's like, oh, I'm just running water so she can't hear us having sex. Frasier's like, you can do that? That always makes me have to go to the bathroom. So I'm like, well, now I've got two problems, Frasier.
That's pretty funny.
And Rebecca kind of pokes her head in. She's like, what's going on? And he's like, oh, it's the phone or something. And she asks to talk to Lilith. And Lilith's like, you're still being too sexy. And she's like, you are such a good friend or listener.
Love those two phone calls. We're so good.
So we come back to the living room again. And Sam and Rebecca, they're trying again. She wants them to get down on their knees and thank God for the miracle of conception. Gosh. Sam, here's where he admits that he's turned off. And Rebecca's like, she reveals that Lilith and was telling her to give this advice. And he says, Frasier said we're supposed to be hot. And here they're like, okay, if we can't even talk to each other about this problem, what kind of parents are we going to make?
Right.
Sam's got a good bit here where he's like, I've had sex a million times, but there's never been a purpose before. Like, okay, hey. that's not true. There's been a purpose. There's never been a goal. All right, well, there was a goal. So they're kind of not a detente, but they're just kind of like, okay, this was a bad idea.
And that's where this episode should have ended.
Yeah. Probably, yeah. But he starts to walk away, and he opens the door, and coming from one of her neighbors in the apartment down the hall, we hear Johnny Mathis singing. Yeah. He's like, isn't that funny? And then he kisses her before he leaves, and then it turns into a more passionate kiss, and they kind of, he closes the door, stays in the room, and they kind of lean it to the wall. And in the heat of the moment, very turned on, she says, oh, baby. And he rejects her. He's like, stop saying that.
It is pretty funny.
It's
it
a good gag for the closure.
It is. Yeah. And you do see their chemistry again right before that. And I just don't know what they were trying to do. I just can't figure it out.
The writers thought this was what they were going to do. They thought this was the right thing for the characters. It was an unexplored territory to a degree. I understand that, but I feel like it's
true.
Ignoring a little bit of the history. And it feels like something that other tired 10-year-old sitcoms would do. And to me, that just kind of feels below the standard of this show.
It felt a bit jumping the shark. But hey, they come back from it. They come back from it.
They do.
So, I mean, and it's still good. It's still good TV. So I'm not complaining too much.
But yeah, the other, like the recycling of that season two idea is, okay, all right, well, these two are going to try and have a baby. Let's make it as hard for them as possible.
Yeah.
Like, okay. All right. So then that's going to be the idea. And it's, I was like, all right, I saw this with Sam and Diane. All right. That was 8-9 seasons ago. So.
And we weren't having reruns yet. I mean, if you recorded it, it was on your VCR and you probably weren't recording the early days of Sam and Diane. You know, most people didn't have a VCR at that point yet. So I don't know. I mean, it's still good. And it's there were so many good physical comedy comedic moments in this episode. I think one of my favorites is when Sam drops the phone to run to the bathroom. Like it's just seamless. Like they're so well gelled together at this point.
Yeah.
The storyline just falls flat. I don't want to keep saying it, but it's so funny.
The characters and the actors and the established credit they have with the audience carries them through.
Yeah.
A plot that's not that good.
Yeah.
And
all shows try this. I mean, I'm Friends, Rachel and Joey trying to get together. And I mean, all shows do this eventually. I mean, but I do think Cheers overall comes back from it better than most sitcoms do when they do something kind of off the path.
Again, in context, we're at season 10. We've had over 200 episodes. And it's like, yeah, if they're going to go back and recycle a plot line from a while ago, it's like, all right, yeah, we give them a pass.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, we're just lucky to still have, you know, episodes at this point. Because most shows would not have. I mean, most shows don't last this long.
Right. And I don't want to give away too much, but of the episodes kind of devoted to this subplot, I think this is my least favorite.
Yeah.
So with the exception, I don't even want to say too much because I don't want to set diminished expectations. Because, I mean, again, I'm looking forward to the show. I'm not losing my love for this show. I'm still going to have a blast covering these. But there's going to be a few episodes in the future where a lot of it is me going, all right.
Yeah.
Well,
but there's still, overall, like we keep saying, it's great.
There's still, some hilarious stuff.
Yeah.
We have to look forward to Rebecca convincing Sam to wear refrigerated underwear. That's the thing that's going to happen in the future.
I mean, that's worth it, right?
Jeez, these shorts are cold. getting into our superlatives, for Norm's tab, he had 4 beers this episode, which brings him up to 941. Now, we have to deduct some from the credit that he was running.
All right.
But the first one of those 4 doesn't count because it was paid for by the bowler who bought a round for everybody.
Oh, that's true.
So so that brings him, because he had gotten so many, because you remember, he originally had 400 beers,
right.
But his credit was going to be for painting the office. But after Kelly worked at the bar for a couple of hours, he was well above that original line. So now he is down to 399.
Okay.
That's deducting the 3.
You have made this incredibly hard on yourself, Ryan.
It's so stupid. Why did I do this?
I enjoy this
from the beginning?
I enjoy you doing it, so I'm glad you did.
Who was your employee of the week, your episode MVP?
You know, I feel like Sam or Rebecca are the obvious, but I'm going to give it to Lilith. I am so happy to have her as a regular this season, and her sinking down to the level of everybody else at the bar. I love to see it.
This is juicy.
Yeah, I love it. She gets it for me. She's my MVP in this episode.
That makes sense. I like that. It was kind of a toss up for Sam, between Sam and Rebecca. I ended up going with Sam.
Yeah.
Part of like the physical comedy of reacting to being hit in the groin in the opening is, I need my Johnny thing, the way he was kind of freaking out and being a little bit more demonstrative. I thought that put him over the top. So I gave it to Sam, but yeah, it could have been Rebecca or Fraser or Lilith. They were all.
Oh yeah. Fraser was good too. They were all really, those 4 were really, really great.
Yeah. I think you've already given it away, but what is your home run, your favorite part?
I think it's, oh my God, the 7th sign. If I had a second runner up is when Fraser and Sam are talking, and Fraser's like, you know, you've got to make a hike or whatever. And Sam, in just this sweet little boy voice, goes, come with me.
Yeah, I forgot. He needs a
coach. Love that. Yeah. Please, Fraser, come with me.
So you talk me through the, I forgot about that line. That was really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, my number one was Lilith telling Rebecca, if anything, you're too sexy. And Rebecca, what does that mean? And thank you.
Thank you. I love that too. The whole phone call.
The earnestness with that line.
So sincere. It's so cute. I don't think
Rebecca's heard that in a long time.
I loved that too. That was, I had that written down. I loved it.
And my runner up would be Sam. Just like, hey, if we're going to make a baby, I need my Johnny.
Need my John.
Yeah.
Someone on the show loves Johnny Mathis.
Clearly.
Really loves him.
Yeah. Either that, or they were like, we've already paid for this song. We can use it again.
That might be more likely.
Yeah. Oh, Vicky, thank you very much for coming back again on Cheerscast. Always love
anytime.
Having you.
Anytime. Anytime.
Anything else that you want to plug or anything else going on?
No, just you can find me here at Cheerscast. I have nothing. Nothing.
Well, then
exciting.
I have to bring you back at some point.
Absolutely.
All right, folks. Thanks to all of you who listen to Cheerscast and support the show by liking and sharing on social media and leaving comments on the website, fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. Cheerscast is supported by the Right On Network, and Jeff Enrick presents Unpacking the Power of Power Pack. Go to patreon.com/FWPodcast to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And until next time.
Look at me. I'm as helpless. as has a kitten up a tree. And I feel like I'm clinging to a cloud I can't understand. I get misty just holding your hand.
Just when things got all, you know, heated and involved, well, he left for no apparent reason. I mean, I don't think Sam was turned on.
Oh, my God, the seventh sign.
Lilith, what am I doing wrong? Am I not hot enough? Am I not sexy enough?
Actually, Rebecca, perhaps you're too sexy.
What do you mean? And thank you.